I get it when you had to buy things. Why? Screamed the miser angrily. Why? I never touched the gold. I couldn't think of spending any of it. The stranger picked up a large stone and threw it into the hole. If that is the case, he said, cover up that stone. It is worth just as much to you as the treasure you lost. A possession is worth no more than the use we made of it. And now the continuation of Lantern. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin asta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the views of the Islamic religion regarding accumulating wealth. It must be indicated that, wealth and money and properties are very much needed for ordinary lives. However, in the Islamic religion, we find that accumulating wealth, especially gathered in a wrong way and through oppressing others or through denying other people their own rights, will not be, this kind of act, accumulating wealth by means of imposing all sorts of hardships on others, isn't an act endorsed in the Islamic religion. We find that in the Holy Quran, there are certain verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises those people who accumulate wealth, and in the Holy Quran it's indicated as, gold and silver. By gold and silver in the Holy Quran, it doesn't mean, simply gold and silver. It means, various kinds of properties, okay? However, in the Holy Quran we find that when those people who accumulate wealth but never distribute those wealth accumulated in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they never support the needy people, they've been promised to receive very, very harsh punishments. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want in any human community, wealth to be accumulated in certain places with the rest of people starving and being unable to satisfy their basic needs. We are all human beings, so we have to live in such a situation that, those people who don't have the right properties shouldn't feel any kind of inferiority complex when they compare themselves with the rich and with the elites of the community. Please note carefully that in the Islamic religion, the elites are not those people who are rich, financially rich. Rather, the elites are those people who are intellectually higher than others, and they are mainly the people of knowledge, people of scholarship, and so on. In the Islamic religion, there are those people who accumulate wealth, in the words of the Holy Quran, gold and silver, but translated into the economic vernacular and language of the day, those people who accumulate wealth, whether money or other things, other properties, and seldom distribute them among the needy and help the needy, they are, in fact, those people who are tyrants regarding the rights of other people. A tyrant isn't someone who punishes people without their having committed anything wrong. Rather, those people who come to deny people of their own rights, financial rights, or who deny other people of the basic needs, they are also tyrants.
Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
A financial tyrant isn't someone who is, for example, a top-ranking ruler, even a merchant who isn't concerned with the needs of other people, who barely supports other people, the needy, especially the needy in his own community. This merchant turns into a kind of tyrant. From this perspective, we find that in the Islamic religion, accumulating wealth isn't good in its own terms, unless accumulating wealth means that someone collects money in order to administer them, in order to manage the money, and in order to help others by means of the money he or she has collected. And, well, we know that some other people, there are many people who have collected money and properties in a right way, from a religious perspective. They've been financially active or intellectually very bright-minded, such that they've been able to help others. In the Holy Quran, as indicated in the Holy Quran, collecting gold and silver is abominable. The Holy Quran frowns upon collecting gold and silver. Now, when one of the companions of the sixth infallible Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam went to him and wanted an explication of this Quranic verse, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam explained it that by gold it isn't meant, this gold, as a metal, as a very precious metal, that rather this gold signifies something that annihilates one's religion. And by silver, it's meant something that comes to be the fountainhead of disbelief and not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that, through collecting wealth and not distributing that wealth among the needy, two abominable side effects emerge. One of them is, annihilation or disappearance of one's religion. And another one is that someone becomes, the accumulator of that wealth and becomes a disbeliever in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, and as someone may not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the judgment day, he or she will become a tyrant. Thank you.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass-bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular, the engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have been beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by 6 centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4-meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial alerce. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Borichevich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters. With soaring fuel prices, the importance of solar-powered vehicles is on the rise. Now a Kashmiri math teacher has gone viral for creating a car powered by solar energy. The car, which is fully covered with solar panels, uses sunlight to charge its battery. The vehicle also has a braking system that regenerates power to its batteries. The inventor of the car, Bilal Ahmed, says he has spent about $19,000 for his project and has not used external funds.
It was my dream to invent a solar car for the people of Kashmir. It took me 13 years to complete my dream. I'm thankful to the Almighty I succeeded in this project.
Bilal says he has built the car manually and without any automation. He hopes to put his fully automatic car into mass production to create jobs for local people.
Just like humans and animals, plants get sick too. But what do you do with an ill plant? An Indian man has found an answer to that. He has opened an emergency room only for plants in Amritsar, a city in India's Punjab state. A tax officer and his wife have set up a Pushpa tree and plant hospital. In Pushpa, they have expert biologists and tree lovers on hand to provide the so-called sick patients with their essential nutrients. The clinic aims to treat any and every disease and even has an emergency vehicle on call for unhealthy trees around the city. The officer's wife says, just as we humans bleed, breathe and need cures, plants also bleed, breathe and need cures.
We provide approximately 32 various services for plants and trees, like if there's a nail in the tree, how to take out that nail. Deep poisoning of the trees. Yes, you heard it right. There are people who poison the trees. Again, if the tree is not bearing fruits, there's an attack of mealybugs or another insects. That's also cured here. If the trees or plants are dying and you're unable to take care of them, even that problem is sorted out.
Only a month into the hospital's operation, Rohit Mehra and his team of 20 volunteers have already received more than 300 queries. The hospital is also completely free of charge. Staff at the National Zoo of Cuba in the capital city of Havana are celebrating a new arrival of a rare baby white rhinoceros. The little calf, named Al, quickly became popular among other animals in the park after he was born. He is part of a conservation program that will add to a gene bank for future breeding. Al is the second white rhinoceros to be born in captivity in 18 years. The park is home to 8 white rhinos and 4 black ones. Zoo staff say the park has one of the largest exhibits of this mammal among zoos in Latin America. White rhinos are endangered species and their population has dwindled due to illegal poaching and environmental destruction.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge is a 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtanaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtanaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
Catching fish makes you forget even the most complex problems, but think the moment you catch the strangest one. Well, a Cambodian fisherman has caught what researchers say is the world's biggest freshwater fish ever recorded. The giant fish, which weighs around 300 kilograms and 4 meters long, was caught last week from the Mekong River. The female stingray was released back into water after being electronically tagged to allow scientists to monitor her movement and behavior. The fish was named Barami, meaning full moon in the Khmer language. An American fish biologist, Dana Lee, says the data collected from Barami can help protect the species and its habitat.
We got a call this morning at breakfast that they had caught a giant stingray here at Coprea. So we dropped everything. People came up from Phnom Penh, and we're here now just at sunset. Just tagged the giant, a 330-kilogram giant stingray here in the Mekong River, and released it here right at sunset.
The stingray dethrones the former record holder, a 290-kilogram catfish found in northern Thailand in 2005. More than 1,000 species live in the Mekong River. The famous waterway originates in China and twists south through parts of Thailand, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Vietnam. Scientists have warned that plastic waste and dam threaten wildlife even in the deepest stretches of the Mekong. Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290-million-old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum everyone. Welcome to IRB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and you're hearing me from Q&A on Islamic belief, in which you'll get the answers to all your questions. So let's start, but before that, I'd like our guest to introduce himself to us.
Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Sheikh Noor Muhammad. I'm very happy to be here.
And I'm very glad to meet you here.
Thank you.
So we get to the first question that have been asked from us that talks about Islam. And of course, we know that throughout history, there has been so much of sections and groups coming out of this big and huge family. So I mean that we have Islam, but throughout time, there have been different categories in this, let's say, school of thought. So now, if we say that it's a complete religion, then why all these categories and subcategories exist in there?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that the categories and the differences and different denominations that we have within the religion of Islam is because of the, I can say, maybe some of the deviation within this divine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this divine religion, I mean this religion of Islam, in order to solve the differences between people. According to the verse of Noble Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this religion to human being for the salvation of human being both in this world and hereafter. But unfortunately, some people, because of their self-arrogance and because of the some deviation, they deviated from the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has nothing to do with the religion itself, or for example with the noble prophet Muhammad or any other infallible Ahlul Bayt. Rather, it's concerned with the deviation of people and self-arrogance of some people, who ascribe themselves to the divine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on and so forth.
So, and at the very first step, just to make it clear for everyone, all these categories comes because of deviations.
Yeah, exactly. You know that the it is a to some extent the nature of human being. He wanted or she wanted to seek his or her, you know, self interest to follow it up. You know, he is not looking for the, you know, unfortunately, let me say that the most of the people, or at least some people, they are not looking for the favor of Islam or the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not looking for to be a real servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to follow up the religion of Islam. Rather, they are looking for their self-interest.
They consider their benefits.
Yeah, exactly. They're looking for their own benefits. And this is exactly the reason that we have some deviation and denomination, not only in the religion of Islam, rather into many other religions. You find many other denomination. You know that if you go to the Christianity, Judaism, or any other, you know, even non-Abrahamic religion, you find out a lot of, let's say, denominations. And maybe to some extent you can find many, you know, branches and many denominations in different religions, even, you know, some man-made religions that we have, unfortunately, many of them today. You can find a lot of deviation, you know, you can find a lot of denominations and a lot of, you know, branches into that. Let me share one of the verses of Noble Quran, because mostly the question was about the religion of Allah, Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. This is in chapter Baqarah, verse number 213. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, and none differed in it except those who had been given it. After the manifest proofs had come to them, out of envy among themselves. You know, very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that after the manifest proofs had come to them, everything was clear to them. They understood what is a religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is a reality of religion, and what is a manifest proof about the, you know, signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, they deviated from this divine religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, baghyan baynahum. It was out of envy among themselves. So you see that the only reason, and maybe one of the main reason and the philosophy of different denominations within religion of Allah, which is religion of Islam, is because of the envy of people. Because some people are envious, okay? And they are looking for their own self-interest.
The struggling they have among each other. That's the greatest reason for them to have problem and then deviate from the main topic of the thing they are practicing.
Exactly. Exactly. As I mentioned that, you know, that in the verses of Noble Quran, and actually it is in the beginning of the same verse that I recited to you, verse number 213. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I sent this religion to you in order to solve the differences between people. You know that there are a lot of differences between people.
So why those differences were not solved?
Yes, exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this religion in order to solve differences. But unfortunately, again, some other second differences came because of some envious people. Because people, they were looking for their own self-interest, okay? They were arrogant people. And because of that, again, another second differences came up and appeared. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, I, in the day of judgment, I will, you know, give you my clear verdict, and I will make everything clear for people to understand what is the truth and what is a final truth and reality.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah.
I want to say that the point, if I want to summarize what I have said so far, I want to say that according to the verse of Noble Quran, and of course, rationally speaking, and because of the many experience that we have for many religions in the world, we can understand easily that the reason for different denomination and branches, it has nothing to do with the religion itself.
But with the people.
Yeah, rather it has to do with the people, and because of the, you know, unfortunately, because of some people who are looking for their own interest. Yeah.
So according to what you have said up until now, we could claim that there would never be a single religion with no more of categories or subcategories in this world. As long as there are human beings who've got their benefits, and they are not going to be at once with each other for their goals and benefits.
You know, maybe let me add something to what you have mentioned, that of course we have one single religion, which is a true religion, which is a religion of Islam. Of course, without any, you know, prejudice to that, you know, my dear listener, they can go and they can have their own study and research about different religions that you wanted to follow. But if you want to have a scholarly analysis, you can understand easily that the only religion that we have, which is a true religion and the most complete version of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is which contain the prosperity of human being both in this world and hereafter, is only religion of Islam. Everything is clear, you know. Signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been made clear for all human beings, okay? According to some narration, we have two proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First proof is your rational, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which we call it...
The reason, yes.
Yes, the power of reasoning, which we call it hujjatan batana. On the other hand, we have hujjatan zahira, which is religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Noble Prophet Muhammad and his pure progeny. So, religion is clear, everything has been cleared for human being, but of course we have some differences, and you know, maybe some other denomination and other tendencies, because of the, according to this verse, baghyan bainahum, because some people, they have some envy toward each other, and the because some people, they have their own, they're looking for their own interests. And of course, we have the, these kind of differences and this kind of, let's say, disputes between people.
Exactly. So now we could say that no matter how much deviations we have, and no matter how much sections we have in Islam, it remains the only single religion that has got everything completed together. And it is the religion of Allah.
Exactly. I want to say that, I want to say that we should not confuse between two things, and we cannot mix between two things. On one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made everything clear for human being. Okay? Mm-hmm. We have the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have Noble Quran. We have the power of reasoning. Okay.
Yes.
And of course, we have the great, treasure and heritage of Islamic heritage from Ahlul Bayt. We have lots of narrations and accurate narration. So everything has been cleared for human being. And of course, add to that the, God-given nature, which we call it fitrah. God-given nature of human being. So nobody can say in the day of judgment, or, for example, question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why you did not make it clear,
mm-hmm.
why you didn't make
so
clear
everything
for
is
me.
Clear. But the thing is that nobody is going for the complete thing. They have been deviated from the main source of that complete religion.
It depends on your choice. On this table, we have different choice here. Mm-hmm. You can choose whatever you like because you have the power of choosing.
Yes, okay? You have. But, technology is working as well. So there are many propagandas and there are different, they're calling you for the wrong choices.
Of course, till the day of judgment, we have these kinds of challenges within the human being. First of all, we have the, da'wat al-shaytan. which we call it the invitation
of the devil.
Yeah, you may translate it the temptation of the Satan. On the other hand, you have the invitation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have your fitrah, God-given nature. You have your power of intellect. You have your irada, which we call it, you have your willpower. Yeah, you can choose between, you know, different things. You may choose the satanic temptation. Of course, inna kayda shaytana kana da'ifa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the temptation of Satan is weak.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have this so-called technology, as you mentioned, social media. Unfortunately, we have, you know, beside lots of benefits embedded into that.
Exactly.
We have some kinds of, you know, negative invitation and temptation, of course. But after all, you can choose. You can easily choose it. You know, in one narration, let me add, in one narration, for example, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that in usiya lam ya'ud. If you do not follow satanic temptation, and if you disobey satanic temptation, he will not tempt you again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So yes,
it depends totally on your decision, whether you choose this path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the path of Satan. Okay, so of course, I want to say that we have these challenges within the human being.
Exactly, and that is the goal of life. We're always in a struggle between the truth and the wrong thing.
And of course, yeah, it is a philosophy of the, you know, creation of man, human being, in order for him or her to become more completed, okay, and to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had it not been for these challenges, it was not possible to, you know, make that individual perfected human being.
Exactly. Okay? You cannot achieve perfection. Thank you for your description. We got the answer to our question. And you are listening to Arab English Radio. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more information, you can visit parstoday.com. Until next session and a new episode of Q&A on Islamic Belief. May Allah protect and bless you all.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Beep. Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to the IRIB English Radio, and this is the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. We have with us in studio today our guest speaker, Brother Al-Musawi. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A very warm welcome to the program Islamic Upbringing.
It's always a pleasure being here.
Thank you so much for being with us. All right, brother, we have been talking about the signs that could indicate our children are going through a problem. And in our previous session, we discussed one of the problems that was in our own family. Anyways, what are the more signs you could tell our audiences that could help them indicate that their child is not well?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we mentioned some signs in regard to their personal, let's say, body or their state. And we said there are signs when it comes to towards their families. Now there are signs when it comes to their own gender and their own age. So, for example, boys or girls, you know, depending on their age group, usually they interact with their own kind, like, you know, with their own group age, if I can say. So sometimes when they're interacting with their own group age, sometimes they do a lot of things that indicates there's a behavior issues. So, for example, when they meet together, there's constantly arguments. There are constantly fights. So sometimes you find the child is not happy accepting friends of his own group age. Like you say, okay, why don't you become friend with this one? He's like, no, I don't want to be friend with this one. Why don't you become friend with this one? Like, I don't want to be friend with this one. Or when you force them to become friends or you put them in the same environment, then definitely something is going to erupt. That should tell the parents that this child has a problem somewhere that, that needs to be looked at and diagnosed, at least.
When I heard two women talking to each other who were saying that one of the ladies was not happy that her child is going and making friends with the people who are under his age, who are like quite younger to him. But the lady was had issues with that, and the other lady was saying, it's okay, what's wrong with that? So you're saying there's something wrong if a child is not making friends with the people who are not of his age.
If he's not making friends with people of his age, then there's an issue.
Yeah.
Because he should be. And sometimes you find children, even they make friends with people who are a little bit younger than them, like a couple of years younger or even a couple of years older.
Yeah.
They get very along well very well.
Yeah.
So those who are their age, they should be absolutely fine with having no issues.
Yeah.
So if they are not, for example, either they are not being accepted by others, or them not accepting others. That's an indication that there's a problem, there's an issue somewhere.
Yeah.
Or sometimes you put them in an environment and the child would create a problem just not to be with them anymore.
All right.
So you put them together, they have a fight, like, see, I told you I shouldn't be friends with him, and they just want to leave. So that's obviously an issue.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes you see children who are violent and abusive towards other people. So sometimes you see two are playing and then one child comes in the middle and he just wants to either stop them from playing or hurt one of them. So if you have a child who is constantly trying to harm other kids of his age or at least try to create a problem within the group, then also that indicates a problem with that child that needs to be looked at.
So, well, these signs are indicating a lot of problems what we need to be looking for. Brother, I'll be talking to you, but after a very short a break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is the program Islamic Upbringing, and we are talking about the signs that could indicate that something is going wrong with a child. Well, brother, you were talking about these signs.
Okay. So we got to the point where we said there are some kids who want to create problems and become violent.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have kids who not only violent, but sometimes they take pleasure being violent.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and sometimes this shows on them. So sometimes they hit somebody and they hurt someone or they break someone else's toy while they're showing signs of pride. Or like not caring at all. And you can say...
I'm more powerful.
Yeah, and sometimes you can see it in their eyes. Like, you know, they had this evil face to them when they do it.
Yeah.
So you can tell that if a child is taking pleasure in hurting another child, obviously that's a problem. Sometimes this happens even between siblings. So sometimes you have like one child hurting his brother and he just... You know, he just takes pride in it. For example, I remember with my kids, my daughter, she's very abusive towards her brother, even though she's like 3 years old, younger than him. But she hits him and she's like, she makes all these weird faces to indicate that she's, you know, she doesn't care.
Yeah.
So her mom would call me, it's like, your daughter is doing this to her brother, talk with her. And I'm like, why are you doing this to him? He's like, no, I don't do anything to him. But sometimes, like, my son, what happens when they fight, he would record her for me.
All right.
He would record her after her bashing him or something. And she's like, you can tell she's taking pride in it, right?
Yeah.
So that definitely indicates to me that she has a problem.
Yeah.
Now, either with her mother, either with her environment that she's in, or what have you. So there's a problem. So also this is something that we need to look at.
Yeah.
Sometimes when kids cheat as well, for example, whether it's in school,
yeah,
or whether it's during trying to buy something or do
lying,
even deal with one another or playing.
Yeah.
Like you said, so if cheating is happening at a very young age, that also indicates that we have a problem, especially if it is with their own group age.
Yeah.
Addiction, for example, is also another problem. Now we have kids who are addicted to smoking. We have kids addicted to drugs. We have kids addicted to, sadly, pornography. We have a lot of kids who are addicted, at least the minimum thing, is addicted to games.
Yeah.
Now we have game addiction.
Yeah.
It became such an addiction that we actually, in the West now, we have plenty of addiction centers,
yeah,
for gamers.
All right.
So we used to have addiction centers for gamblers and alcoholics. Now we have addiction centers for gamers, which are kids, basically,
yeah,
who spend 8 hours to 12 hours playing games, which is a problem. So addiction always comes from a background that's,
yeah,
something that's going wrong that makes him spend so much time on, for example, the game or whatever addiction that he's in. So this is also an indication.
All right. So if a child seems to be cheating, or he could be seen in some of the addictions like smoking, drugs, pornography, or even, you said, games, these all signs indicate that there's a problem with a child. Well, brother, I'll be talking to you, but after a short break, dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. We're talking about the signs that indicate that there's something going wrong with a child. Yes, brother, we were talking about the addictions, and apart from addictions, you said there could be some more signs as well.
So, other signs that we have to look for in a child, that sometimes we have some children who are what we call, they just like to show off, right? They're trying to prove themselves. So they're trying to seek the acceptance of everyone around them. They want to seek the attention of everyone around them. So they end up to showing off, as we call in Arabic, riya, right?
Yeah.
So they're trying to make themselves known and
center
seen.
Center of attraction.
Exactly. So they want to be, like you said, the center of attraction in everything. Now, for a child to be in this mindset, there's a problem.
Yeah.
So if the child, for example, lacks, and this is actually, we see it even with the grown-ups.
Yeah.
When you see someone who's trying to attract attention,
mm-hmm.
it means because he did not get that attention when he was a kid.
All right.
Either from his parents or either from those who are around him.
All right.
That made him feel that shortness in him that he's constantly trying to make up for it as he grows older.
Yeah.
So when a child is trying to be the center of attention,
mm-hmm.
then obviously there's an issue and there's a problem that the parents need to be very mindful of, that we need to come to his help and to his aid.
Yeah. My child was complaining that in the arena where they play, the play field, there's always one child who sometimes comes up with some different behaviors, like wearing a cap and hand gloves in summers.
Mm.
So maybe this behavior is a kind of, you know, center of attraction, the way you said.
So exactly. So sometimes this trying to seek attention, it comes in different forms.
Yeah.
Especially now in our day, it manifests itself
mm-hmm.
in the way they dress, the way they do their hairstyle, and the way they try to fit in with other people.
Yeah.
So it takes different forms. But like you said, like the example that he gave is a very direct indication that there's a problem. I mean, he's trying to seek attention in the absolute wrong way by yeah. wearing gloves and stuff in summer. So
yeah.
obviously that doesn't, suit the environment or the place. So like I said, with children, they will do certain action that is very obvious
mm-hmm.
For us as parents or as adults to know that there is something absolutely wrong with that child, that he needs a bit of help, he needs a bit of attention.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes when you have children who are absolutely jealous
yeah.
of other children,
yeah.
that also indicates a problem when the child constantly wanting to have what other people have and wanting to the other kids to lose what they have.
Yes.
Because this is the exact definition
of
jealousy.
Yeah.
So not just wanting, but you want the others to lose what they have.
Yeah.
So this is also becomes a problem if you see the child, for example, expressing himself in terms of saying, I wish they lose their toys or they break this or they lose that. And I wish I had this.
Yeah.
So that also could indicate a problem.
Jealousy.
And also stealing is a problem as well. Sometimes kids start stealing at a very young age. They
yeah.
start stealing from their dad's or mom's purse. Now, with kids that I know of, they're stealing their parents' credit card numbers. So
yeah.
they steal their credit card number and they go online and decide to buy things. So stealing also an indication that there is a problem and the behavior of the child that we need to also pay attention to.
Inshallah, parents would really look at these signs, and these signs would be really helpful for them to indicate that if there's something going wrong and fix that. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us. Please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by searching Call of Islam Radio. You can also listen to our sessions again on our official website, that's parstoday.com. Go to Call of Islam. Until another session, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Do you? says, it says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Abu Mahdi al-Muhandes, a real soldier.
The last scenes from the movie, a selfie with Abu Mahdi, the outstanding Iraqi commander who became famous for his battle with Daesh. Filmmaking crew, in line with its agenda to make documentaries about the commanders of the war in Iraq, had been waiting for him for a long time. A selfie with Abu Mahdi was made on the sidelines of the liberation of Fallujah. Using every trick in our bag and under the pretext of the liberation of Mosul, we managed to not only get to Iraq, but to Abu Mahdi. He was tired, and we knew very well that the hands of the clock move mercilessly. Abu Mahdi had less than 3 hours to get some rest until morning and before he could get back to his daily work. We considered ourselves the self-styled messengers of a nation that had to record his experience. While talking about the operations, besides getting the good news of a large-scale liberation, we got the chance to see you for a longer time, and Mosul was the last chance for us to see you very well. And now you have realized that we become more anxious by the minute, and you are confiding in us. You said, "It's true that history is made with the blood of martyrs, but forgetting them moves us back for centuries." To plan for any operation, the news about the weather and precipitation is as important as the information on the geographical location of the enemy. But to go visit the fighters who guard the borders, it doesn't matter whether it's shining or raining. The presence of the highest-ranking military figure at that moment gives them more hope. In crises, we usually need a cold mind and a warm heart. This is a famous saying by a man who's been to the deserts in Kuwait, the mountains in Iran, as well as hills and rivers in Iraq. An engineer who studied politics as well later on, but remained a revolutionary until his last breath. Despite his usual smile, he never took anything lightly. How much time do you have during the day? No matter how you look at it, you shouldn't have the time to chat with the new fighters. The normal procedure is a short visit among the infantry and a few pictures and immediately a meeting with the commanders. But you have pinned your hopes on these young fighters to save Iraq. You remember their names and their homelands and pray for them. Now that the country is heading towards peace, many airplanes take off and land in Baghdad Airport. For many of them, the destination is the Green Zone, where the embassies are located. But you still prefer to be among the defenders of the city.
As-salamu alayka, ya ibn Rasulillah.